Imagine you are lying on your deathbed. I realize it may be 50 years from now for some of you, for others 25 years, maybe 10 years, or maybe even a matter of months, weeks, or days for some. Imagine you are drawing your final breaths. Perhaps you're even wearing an oxygen mask as your life is coming to an end. The opportunity in this life to hug your children, your grandchildren, that's all gone. You will never in this life hold your spouse's hand again. You'll never travel. You'll never fish. No more vacations or holidays. You'll never celebrate your accomplishments ever again in this life. Every day of your life is now past. And now you're lying there thinking about all the hours that add up to days and maybe even years that you wasted, being angry at the smallest of things, being upset at someone who maybe inconvenienced you, irritated because the stock market crashed or the value of your home dropped. All that time, gone. You'll never get it back. I think you get the idea here. I really want you to take a moment and consider the certainty that one day you will die, and the life you currently have will be gone. The statistics on life expectancy vary, and the contributing factors are many. If you go back just to 1950, the global average for life expectancy was below 50 years. Now, since 1950, the global averages have steadily increased with the advancement of medical technology and studies in nutrition. We are now, today, in the year 2023, at a place where the global average is 73 years. Of course, there are countries in our world today where the average is much higher, like 85, but there are other countries today with a 53-year expectancy. And these numbers have changed throughout the years. Some countries are less health conscious than others. Even still, some countries in our world, they continue to deal with things like disease and famine. There are so many contributing factors on this topic. In fact, countries where the literacy is very low, meaning the people can't read, they're less likely to be educated on how to address a health problem. So the life expectancy is lower. And yet, while the expectancy is typically lower in impoverished countries and higher in wealthy countries, here in the United States, the number is much lower than other wealthy countries because of factors like smoking, obesity, drug overdoses, and high car fatality rates, to name a few. Yet something I find very interesting is that when you take away the extenuating circumstances and you just look at the average life expectancy worldwide, you see that the Bible was right. The Bible was accurate when it said 3,400 years ago, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Again, please note, these are just averages. The Bible is not giving you a guarantee that you'll make it to 70, nor is it prohibitive of you living beyond 80 years. I've been to funerals for people who were in their late 90s. I've also, unfortunately, seen caskets for very young children. I think the Bible says it best. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The purpose of this lesson is to help you answer the question, am I prepared for death? You will die someday, and you would be wise to face that fact. You might say, Jim, yes, I'm very prepared. I've already chosen my plot. I've chosen my casket. I've chosen my favorite songs for my family to play at the funeral. I've even had an attorney create a will or a living trust so my belongings are appropriately distributed. But that's not what we're talking about. I want you to be able to end your life and know that you fulfilled your purpose, that you made a difference, that you squeezed the very most out of every day and every experience, and that you can die content. And most importantly, to die knowing where you're going to spend eternity. I know this topic is not something many people want to talk about. Most people would rather talk about preparing for retirement or preparing for a fun vacation, anything but preparing for death. And yet you need to know that by preparing for death, what you're really doing is you're setting yourself up with a proper mindset that will allow you to more fully enjoy every day of this life. When you do anything with the end in mind, you're going to be far more motivated and successful in enjoying that entire process, that journey. This is true for most things in life, isn't it? If you exercise or if you change your diet, it's very important for you to have an end goal, a desired result that you're thinking about constantly. It's like a runner that focuses on the finish line, or the athlete who dreams every night about winning that title game, that championship game. Or maybe like a struggling student who just needs to stay laser focused on graduation. This point about considering the end, it's critical. There are just some roads that we don't travel down, because even though they may look inviting, we know where they lead, and so we avoid them because we have the end in mind. There are other roads that we gladly take because even though they are less inviting, we know where they end. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is very important, and this is wisdom that God gives us in the Bible. I want you to listen carefully to something the Bible says. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. There are two different houses mentioned here, and one, the Bible says, has more value than the other. First, you have the house of mourning. That's a funeral. And then there's the house of feasting, which we'll call a party. Most people would rather go to a party than a funeral, for obvious reasons. But the wisdom being shared here is that there is a greater advantage for the heart if you go to the house of mourning, the funeral. Because feasting and laughing, it might be a good time, but it doesn't result in a changed or improved life. Yet when you go to a funeral, you're forced to think about death, aren't you? You're forced to think about your own mortality. You're forced to think about the sober fact that someday you're going to die. And that can lead to some valuable self-introspection. It might even result in a changed life. As one considers just how short life really is, and as one realizes how precious every day is. I want you to notice that text started by saying, a good name is better than precious ointment. What that's saying is this: when someone dies, it's more important to have a good name, a good reputation, to have lived a good life, than to have valuable material possessions. When you die, people will remember the kind of person you were. They won't be focused on the possessions you collected in this life. And most importantly, God will be more concerned with the person you've been and not the material wealth gained. Jesus said this, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Are you prepared for death? This is a very important question that we all need to answer. And the Bible is clearly right when it tells us we will live better lives in the here and now if we keep the end in mind. When you appreciate the brevity of life and you consider the fact that tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone, you're going to be less likely to waste today, less likely to take today's opportunities, today's experiences for granted. But more than that, when you consider the fact that you will one day die and must face God to give an account for the way you've lived, now you will realize it's not just about getting the most out of life for yourself. It's also about living a life that pleases God. I find it to be a tragic reality that many parents all over the world work very hard to prepare their children to be athletes, to prepare them for college, maybe by starting a college fund when they're young. Then we send our kids to be educated in universities for several years, where they're going to be prepared to be engineers or doctors or lawyers, businessmen, businesswomen. But our professional educators will not say a single word about being prepared for eternity. The schools of this world, they'll show your children how to read and write and solve a math problem, maybe help them learn to balance a checkbook and pay taxes, how to be prepared for emergencies like earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. We are all about preparedness, except for the one thing that matters the most. Is it any surprise then that most people spend their time in the house of feasting, partying through life without stopping to consider important truths that will greatly improve the quality of this very short life we're given? It often takes a tragic event in someone's life, like attending a funeral for a friend or a family member, for someone to pause and consider the reality of death, and to ask themselves, am I prepared? The Bible says it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And when you start living your life being mindful of the judgment, you will automatically shift your mindset and begin thinking about literally everything under that framework. The Bible tells us to think about God, our Creator, now, while we're young, as soon as you can, before you grow old and die. Because once we die, the Bible says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You were made by God, and you will one day stand before Him. When you understand this important truth, again, it's going to change everything. It will change the way you view your life. It will change the way you view money. It will change the way you view success and the way you spend your time. You'll stop thinking short term. You'll start thinking long term. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." The world has a much different motto, doesn't it? The world will say, you only live once, so party, 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 eat, drink, and be merry. Have all the fun you can. Try everything. Experiment. Be loyal to no one but yourself. The world will say, follow your desires and your urges. Do whatever you want. Be whatever you want. There's just one huge problem with that kind of thinking. You're accountable to God, and you will answer to Him for how you've lived. God's Word says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Listen, friend, it's not God's desire to have you living fearful and afraid every day of the judgment day. God's desire, believe it or not, is for the day of your death to be the best day of your life. Now, I know most people dread the very idea of having to die, but that's the world's view. Because again, the world refuses to acknowledge the Creator. The world wants to live as if there's no accountability to anyone. The Bible, however, tells a very different story. And I believe the Bible tells a far better story. Because the biblical view is that this life isn't all that wonderful. The Bible tells us that because of sin, this world is no longer the paradise it once was when God made it. In case you haven't noticed, look around. We live in a world filled with pain and suffering, difficulty and headache, and no one gets a free pass to skip any of that. Now, the world's advice? Just try to ignore all that painful stuff. Numb yourself to it however you need to. Chase pleasure wherever you can until you die. Because once you're dead, that's the end. But God says in His Word that death is not the end. In fact, God says His plan is for death to be the end of pain, the end of suffering, and the beginning of eternal peace and joy living in God's presence. But you know, that doesn't happen by accident. You have to prepare. I want you to listen to a parable spoken by Jesus. He said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This man was so busy preparing for success in this life, tearing down one barn to build a bigger one, that he failed to make plans for eternity. And now his life has come to an abrupt and surprising end. And he's not prepared. He's not ready. And Jesus brands him as a fool. The Bible says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die." And as Jesus noted in the parable we just read, the time of one's death is often unpredictable. But you will die someday. It's time to face that fact and live every day prepared for that reality. So I ask you again, are you prepared? On another occasion, Jesus spoke about a man who did very well for himself every day. In fact, Jesus said he wore nice clothes of fine linen, and he ate sumptuous meals every day. But one day he died, and he found himself tormented and painfully separated from God, separated from his family and friends, and separated from the comforts he once enjoyed in this life. He was a rich man prepared in this life when it came to food, plenty of food. He was prepared in terms of security because Jesus said he had a gate around his home to protect him, no doubt from worldly dangers. He was prepared for everything except the afterlife. And his life sentence to eternal separation from God was so incredibly painful, Jesus said he begged for someone to be able to warn his family about all of this. And I'll tell you, as a Christian man, I have no doubts about where I will be when I die. I'm going to be with the Lord. But the plight of this man, who was and is not enjoying the presence of the Lord, is not lost on me. And so, perhaps I could say on his behalf, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you right now to consider the end of life and be prepared for that day. Because the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means God's desire is for you to make a decision right now to return to him. He's been long-suffering, but that means he's been patiently waiting for you. And he sent his son Jesus Christ to remedy your sin problem by dying in your place on that cross. He didn't die because he was guilty, because he never sinned. But he died for your sins and for mine. The path of preparation, then, is to place your faith in God's Son and to obey him. Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." You see, the preparation required is not a secret. You don't have to guess at what God wants you to do. He wants you to receive Christ. And that happens when you receive and obey his words. I want to encourage you to read your New Testament and know the teachings of Jesus. Sufficient for this lesson as a starting place are these words from Jesus himself. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." The Bible also tells us how to be saved from this perverse generation, this lost generation, when it says this, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Please listen to me carefully. Do not trust anyone else to tell you what you need to do to prepare for death except God himself. This is far too important for you to rely on the internet or secondhand information. You must read God's word. There was a wealthy farmer. I'll tell you about who invited a preacher over for dinner. When the preacher arrived and was greeted for dinner by the farmer and the meal was still being prepared, the farmer said, "Preacher, let me take you outside. I want to show you my property." And so they went to the top of a hill that was on that property. And the farmer pointed to the east and he said to the preacher, "Do you see out in that direction? As far as your eye can see, all that land, that property is all mine." Then the farmer turned the preacher to the north and he pointed and said, "Do you see all the animals out in that direction? As far as the eye can see, it's all mine too." Then the farmer pointed west, said to the preacher, "Do you see all those crops growing and thriving in that direction? As far as your eye can see, it's all mine." Finally, the farmer pointed south and he said, "Do you see all the barns I've built, the lake, the animals grazing? Everything you see in that direction, it's all mine. And then after a brief pause, the preacher pointed towards the heavens, and he asked the farmer, "How much do you own in that direction?" Remember the Bible verse we mentioned earlier where Jesus said to the foolish man who had acquired much, he said, "This night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Have you invested in eternity? I'm going to ask you just one more time. Are you prepared for death? 54 million people alive right now are expected to die in the next 12 months. How much do you own in that direction?